Hi everyone, I am Shivam. I am a contributor to Vulnerable Code project. It is a free and open source vulnerability database. And in this presentation, we are going to learn why we need a vulnerability database, which is open source. Before we begin, let's have a quick summary of how software is built and the role of vulnerability database. So nowadays, software is built by using multiple open source libraries together and then adding some custom logic on top of that. What this implies is if even the one of the used library is vulnerable, then the whole application might be vulnerable to an attack. So the duty of ensuring that secure libraries are used becomes more important. And this becomes the job of the software composition analyst. So on a lower level, what this looks like is the SCA would obtain a software bill of materials, and then iterate over all the found packages and verify whether each of the package is secure or not. And this is where a vulnerability database is used. A vulnerability database is essentially a mapping of packages and their vulnerabilities. Okay. And let's see what are the problems with the existing vulnerability database, which prompted us to begin the Vulnerable Code project. Okay. So the first one is the license problem. And majority of the solutions have a proprietary license. And this is for obvious reasons, but this has some consequences. So the first one is we can't really obtain the whole database. That means we can't audit it. And this is bad because there's a practice of bloating the data. And why would they do this? Well, if there are multiple vulnerability database providers, how would I signal that my vulnerability database is better than the other? Well, I will claim that my database covers largest number of vulnerabilities. And there's the practice of favoring quantity over quality for marketing purpose. The way Vulnerable Code gets around this issue is we have an open source license, Libre license, CC by NC, and we provide regular data dumps of the whole database. So we can't really bloat the data even if we wanted to. So, and also we don't have an incentive to do that, right? Okay. We see how we are solving the license problem. Let's see the CPE problem. Well, CPE, for starters, it stands for Consumer Platform Enumeration. It's basically a format used by the National Vulnerability Database, NVD, to address software components. And there are many issues with it. So, okay, a naive claim is that since the NVD, National Vulnerability Database, covers all the vulnerabilities, why don't we just use NVD rather than going to other third-party solutions? Well, here's the interesting thing. NVD uses CPE, and CPEs are very bad in addressing open source components. They essentially make the data garbage. This is because CPEs were invented before the explosion of usage of free and open source software. And it is vendor-centric in semantics. We'll see what that means. And okay, so here's an example of a CPE. This is a format. CPE is essentially a string, and it has a part. Part denotes what kind of component it is. It could be an application or hardware or an operating system. We concern mostly about applications here. And then there's the notation of vendor, product, and version. You can see an example of a CPE for Django project here. Okay, so you might be wondering, what's the problem with CPEs for open source software? Well, here's the deal breaker. It can't really deal with different packaging systems. Okay, what do I mean by that? Well, from this CPE, can you infer that Django is a PyPy package? Well, I can't, but this gets worse when a package is packaged in more than one packaging systems. For example, OpenSSL, which could be packaged in a Debian file or an RPM file. So we can't really denote OpenSSL properly using a CPE, and that makes it problematic to use. So how do we get around this issue? Well, at vulnerable code, we use a package URL, and package URL is also it's kind of a URL. So a string of package URL looks like this. Most of you would be familiar with it, but let's have a quick summary of what it is. A package URL has, just like every URL, has a scheme. It has a PKG scheme, and then it has the type, which denotes the type of package. So for example, the type could be Debian, RPM, etc., etc. Namespace is the provider of the package, and this could be GitHub or etc. There are other providers like GitLab, Bitbucket, etc. The name is the name of the package, version. Those are pretty self-explanatory. You can see from the example, I can pretty easily infer from the package URL string that Django is a Python package. And this helps when we are trying to infer vulnerabilities automatically. So we have seen how we are solving the CPE problem. Let's see what's the data problem. Okay, so the data problem is caused due to two dependent factors. The first one is they are scattered, and the data sources are scattered, and this is not a bad thing. The bad thing is that they have different schemas for many reasons, mainly because all the data sources are autonomous entities. So for example, it could be a data source for just Node.js packages, and they are going to use some schema, right? Compared to a data source for vulnerabilities in the Python community. Okay. And let's see what kind of schemas are used. There are some standard schemas, particularly used for denoting package vulnerabilities. And those are OVAL and CVRF. OVAL is a pretty complicated schema, but it's parsable and it's machine readable. So it's not as bad, but we don't want any software analyst to write parsers for OVAL documents. We do that for you at Vulnerable Code. It consumes OVAL documents pretty easily. Then there are CVRF documents. These are similar to OVALs. It's fine if standard schemas are used. Then there are the ad hoc machine readable security advisories. These are in formats like JSON, XML, TOML, YAML, etc., etc. They have an ad hoc schemas in the sense that It's just defined for the particular data source, and no other data source uses the same schema. Okay. And for this, for such data sources, a single parser does the job just for that data source. And there are a bunch of such data sources, and we don't want the software analyst to write 20 parsers just to cover all the data sources. So third is human readable security advisories, and these are sometimes HTML pages, markdown documents, and at vulnerable code we also have parsers for scraping some web pages and then extracting the info. And we also have in certain cases this can't be done. Okay, it's just tricky to extract such info from things like mailing lists or and so what we are planning to do is have a queue of links to such security advisories and then manually review them and convert the data and feed it into the database. That's how we plan to consume the human readable security advisories as well. And that's the gist of data problem. So the future plans of vulnerable code is we want to see some adaptation in other open source libraries. Like we are planning to have some adaptation by ORT, Open Source Review Toolkit, and we are pretty excited about that. And it's very exciting to work in this new field. And we are also planning to have a thing called community curation of the data. So the thing is, there's always going to be some human error even in these data sources. And to fix this is to have as many eyes on it as possible. So what we want to do is get help from the community to improve our data and enrich it as well. And thank you for the precious attention. Goodbye.